From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, July 6, 2018. And on this day, Maine's U.S. senators on President Trump's often delayed infrastructure plans. And we'll look at customs and border protection checkpoints in Maine. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
Governor Paul LePage has vetoed six more bills. They include two that deal with marijuana in Maine, funding for county jails, and banning so-called conversion therapy, which aims to turn gay people straight. The American Civil Liberties Union's running a television ad campaign in Maine, asking Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins to demand that the next Supreme Court nominee take a public position on Roe v. Wade. The ad begins by highlighting Collins' reputation as an independent voice in the Senate, who has long supported the reproductive rights of women. It then asks Collins to make her vote contingent on the nominee's position on Roe v. Wade, which prohibits states from banning abortion.
Trump's Supreme Court nominee must publicly declare a position on Roe. Tell Susan Collins, we can't gamble on this.
Collins has said she won't support a nominee who's openly hostile to Roe v. Wade, but she has also voted to confirm conservative judges who've not taken a definitive position on the ruling. The ACLU is also running ads in Alaska, where Senator Lisa Murkowski is also considered a possible swing vote. President Trump's expected to announce his pick for the Supreme Court Monday night. Maine businesses are largely unscathed by the new tariffs China's imposing on U.S. products, but there is one big exception, lobster. Fred Bever has more.
Wade Merritt, the president of the Maine International Trade Center, says early salvos in the developing trade war between the U.S. and China didn't seem too bad. But the tariffs China just announced came on like a summer thunderstorm and will hit about a quarter of all of Maine's exports abroad.
Unfortunately, that 25% is 99% lobster. I think we had some hopes that this might change. I know the industry has been working hard with the congressional delegation and others to try to see if there are ways to mitigate this or head this off, but unfortunately we're where we are today.
Last year, China bought $57 million worth of frozen and live lobster from Maine. The latest tariffs added to existing ones bring the total tariff on frozen lobster harvested in the U.S. to 35% and 40% on live lobster. Canada, by contrast, recently saw tariffs on its lobster sales to China reduced to 7%. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
In his campaign and first year as president, Donald Trump promised a major infrastructure program to address the nation's crumbling roads and bridges. But Maine's two U.S. senators say that proposal that's been offered by the White House lacks support on Capitol Hill, and they predict it's not going anywhere this year, even as the need for it grows. Mal Leary has more.
In his State of the Union speech earlier this year, President Trump promised a massive $1.5 trillion 10-year plan to address the backlog of needed repairs and improvements nationwide.
Gleaming new roads, bridges, highways, railways, and waterways all across our land. And we will do it with American heart, American hands, and American grit.
But when the details were revealed, Trump had proposed a much more modest package of $20 billion in new federal funds each year for a decade. He wants states and local governments, as well as the private sector, to pick up the rest of the costs. The goal of addressing the backlog of needed repairs, estimated by the American Society of Civil Engineers at closer to $2 trillion, has broad bipartisan support. But Trump's plan does not.
I think one reason it hasn't is the president's plan relies too much on the promise that somehow private investment entities, such as private equity firms, would invest in infrastructure.
Republican Senator Susan Collins, who serves on the Appropriations Committee, says that's not a realistic proposal. Independent Senator Angus King believes Congress is ready to act on a bill or package of bills to address needed improvements. But
right now, there's really nothing realistic on the table. The president's proposal would have required a huge additional share from the states and from the private sector. And when you talk about private sector infrastructure investment, you're really talking about tolls.
King says states, including Maine, have not had the revenue to keep up with needed repairs and replacements. And he says by shifting more of the cost to the states, the federal government would also force them to increase taxes. And he says the failure to keep roads and bridges in good repair is already costing taxpayers in the form of car and truck repairs. The American Society of Civil Engineers places the cost of those repairs at $3,400 a year for the average family. King recalls a meeting he had with a group of truckers.
And the first thing they said was, we want a gas tax increase. And I said, you do? And they said, yeah, because the bad roads cost us more in damage to our trucks than the additional gas tax would be.
King says any viable plan should include new revenues, including some fee on electric cars. He points out that the per-gallon federal fuel taxes on gas and diesel were last increased 25 years ago, and automakers have made significant improvements in gas mileage. King also believes that any infrastructure plan must include federal investment to access broadband, which he calls the commerce interstate of the 21st century. Given the scope of the needs, Collins doubts much will happen this year.
Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen this year, other than piecemeal increases in funding that I'm able to put into our transportation appropriations bill.
Collins says there was additional money for road and bridge repairs and improvements in the omnibus spending bill passed earlier this year. She says the House and Senate are both working on their spending bills for the new budget year that starts October 1st and hopes funding will be increased to start to reduce the backlog of repairs and replacements. And King says there may be a measure passed this year to increase funding for water treatment projects. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Over the past several weeks, agents from U.S. Customs and Border Protection have carried out random stops of travelers questioning them about their citizenship miles away from the nearest border.
Afternoon, ma'am. U.S. Border Patrol, immigration inspection. What country are you a citizen of?
Do I have to answer questions?
Excuse me?
Do I have to answer this question?
If you want to continue down the road, yes, ma'am. We need to know what country you're a citizen of.
That's audio from one recent Maine checkpoint on I-95 on June 21st. It was taped by two Bangor Daily News reporters and posted on the paper's website. The policy isn't new. It's based on rules put into place in 1952, which allow the agency to randomly stop people within 100 miles of any U.S. external boundary. Critics say the number of checks has increased during the Trump administration, although the CBP doesn't report those numbers. What is new is the number of people catching them on video and posting them on social media. And in many cases, the videos reveal confusion about the rules. The ACLU, a major force of opposition to the stops, has also been educating the public about their rights in these situations. Emma Bonds, a staff attorney with the ACLU of Maine, which publishes a Know Your Rights brochure for people who are stopped.
This is a complicated area of law, but if you find yourself stopped by a CBP agent, there are three basic things you should know. First, you can tell them that you are invoking your right to remain silent, and then remain silent. Second, you can tell them, I do not consent to a search. And third, you can say as many times as you want, you can ask, am I free to leave? And once the officer says you are, you should leave. Aside from your immediate engagement with the officer, you can record your engagement with the officer and post it on social media. You can speak out in your community against these practices.
What are some of the obstacles to people in immigrant communities to getting this information and then to doing the things that you were talking about here?
One of the biggest obstacles in immigrant communities is this climate of fear that has been engendered by this administration. And it's important to remember that everyone in the United States has constitutional rights, and that surely includes immigrant communities. There are some special rules that apply to immigrants regarding documentation to carry and when you have to show that to a CBP officer. And if anybody has questions about that, they should consult an immigration lawyer. Another obstacle is the many different languages that we have in our community. So we're trying to get our Know Your Rights documents out in as many languages as possible. And it's great to see that in some bus stations, they have posted in English and Spanish the Know Your Rights materials. So people are circulating those around to get the information out there. And we'd love to see more of that. We'd love to see more bus companies adopt posting those kinds of information.
What is the ACLU doing now on this issue, both in Maine and nationally?
In Maine, we have two lawsuits over federal records violations by CBP and the Department of Homeland Security and Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. Those lawsuits are ongoing. In one of the lawsuits, we asked for information regarding the bus checks. You may have heard about CBP agents stopping people who are boarding buses. So we're asking for information about that. And the other one is a broader question about immigration enforcement in the state of Maine. People have the right to know what the government is doing in their name. And so we are suing to find out.
There are some people who would say that, you know, our borders need to be safe and they need these kinds of checks are necessary to keep them safe. How do you respond to that?
In any balancing analysis, people's constitutional rights are paramount. People's rights to be free from unreasonable search and seizure, people's rights to be safe in their community. So those sorts of things should not be balanced away.
Emma Bond is a staff attorney with the ACLU of Maine. Emma, thank you very much.
Thank you, Nora.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Friday, July 6, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.